so honored today to have a guest from the other side of the planet. From all the way from Brisbane, Australia, as they say there, Australia. Nick Watson pastored in Brisbane, Australia for 30 years. I thought I'd been here a long time. I'm just getting started. 30 years of faithfully serving the Lord in a church in Brisbane. And in 2014, God launched him into a ministry of healing. He was sharing last night, you know, that there was a long season when he was frustrated that he would see an occasional miracle, an occasional healing. And frustration can take you either into anger and discouragement, or you can press into God and say, Lord, I want more. And thankfully, our brother chose the latter and didn't cop an attitude. And he's the author of this book here, God's Healing Belongs to You. You can find it online, and I encourage you to look it up. It's an incredible resource, and it'll build your faith. But I want you to stand this morning and give a warm welcome to our guest, Pastor Brother Nick Watson. Would you just welcome him?
Bless you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Come on, let's give all that to Jesus. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. He's the one we came here to admire, isn't it? He's the one we came here to honor and bless. And I want you to say these words after me. Somebody's going to get healed today. Someone's going to get healed this morning. It's going to be me. Come on, someone's going to get healed today. Someone's going to get healed this morning. It's going to be me. It's going to be me. It's going to be me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's the kind of attitude you need to have. And I do want to thank Pastor Jack and Pastor Sandy for inviting me to come. They are amazing people, and they've been doing a great work for God in your lives, to shape and mold your lives and to show you the way forward with God, His Word, His Son, His Holy Spirit. You have a wonderful Holy Ghost atmosphere in this place. This is a place where God can do what He wants, and I love those three P's. What is it? People, purpose, and power. Presence and power, is that right? What is it? Purpose, presence, and power. Yeah, I thought it had people in there, but anyway, I'm sure that's number four. I'm sure that's number four. And you know, I have been so blessed to be in the States on this trip just last weekend. As I said to Pastor Jack and Sandy the other night, I was frustrated previously that I would experience one miracle every 10 years. And so in 30 years, that's like three real miracles. And last Saturday night in Austin, Texas, we received three miracles in one night. In fact, it was probably four, but I'm just not sure that the fourth lady was a healing of COPD, if you know what that is. That's a lung restriction, and she was breathing deeply and all that, but she's a very, very new Christian, and she was just in a daze. She just didn't know what planet she was on because she couldn't believe what was happening to her. So, you know, she's going to need help and discipleship to be able to keep the healing that God gave her. But the other three, there was someone there who said to me, I don't really understand what she meant. She did speak English, although it was American, so, you know, it was a bit not quite what I'm used to. But anyway, you know, she did speak English, but I didn't understand what she meant. She said, I was born with my two feet back to front. Anyway, the fact is that she had 37 years of daily pain. All day, every day, night, you know, the whole bit. And in an instant of time, the Lord just took all that away. And she was pain-free and walking around and jumping on her feet and all that. And for those of you in pain, people get healed of pain in every meeting. So if you're a pain sufferer, I want you to know you don't have to go home with that. You can go home in peace and you can go home healed. And I want you to know something, that the Lord is not Jehovah Tylenol. The Lord is not Jehovah Advil. He does not give you pain relief and leave you with the problem. That's all medication does. It relieves the pain without healing the problem. God is Jehovah Rapha. When your pain goes, you've been healed. And you need to thank God not just for the pain relief, but for the healing of the condition that caused the pain. I've asked God for many years, and He's given me this gift of believing for the healing of pain and all its causes. And I never, ever asked Him, Lord, I want the ministry of healing pain. I always said, Lord, I want the ministry of healing pain and all its causes. And that's what you've got to believe for. And that's what happened to that lady after 37 years of pain. Another lady had 21 years of pain with a disturbed pelvis. And I think she said some part of it was missing, or hips out of alignment, and back out of alignment, and just constant pain for 21 years. And she felt, something shifted and all her pain left, and 24 hours later she's praising God for that. And then there was Gloria, who was, maybe around 60, with a walking cane, and she felt something happening in her hips and legs, felt strength going into them or something, and then she... walked down, it was a second story, she walked down 15 or 20 stairs to the car park without using her cane for the first time in however many years. And when she got out into the car park, she's literally dancing around the car park, waving her cane above her head like that. And they contacted her the next day, and she lives on the ground floor, floor level, street level. And they said, what are you doing? She says, oh, I'm going up and down stairs of this block of units or condos. And what are you doing that for? Well, because I want to strengthen my leg muscles, and I haven't been using my cane, and I've got no pain. Come on, give the Lord a thank offering for that. Only Jesus can do that. Nobody else can do that. That's impossible for man, but it's possible with God. So I want you to say these words after me. Somebody's going to get healed this morning. And it's going to be me. Someone's going to get healed this morning. And it's going to be me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, so I want to give you the absolute most important, central, bottom line way that you can receive your healing. If you get this by revelation of the Holy Ghost, then you will have the faith to receive your healing. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. The concept I'm going to share with you right now, before I actually go into the message that I want to give you, this is the concept. Healing is in the atonement. When Jesus suffered, sacrificed His life, and triumphed, He did not do that only so that you would go to heaven and have your sins forgiven. That was certainly the most important reason, because we have to be forgiven of our sins in order to be reconciled to God. We have to have our sins washed away in order to be reunited with God. And then that does give us entry into heaven, and that is by far the most important aspect of salvation. But that's not all that Jesus did. With His one suffering, His one sacrifice, His one triumph, He did not only purchase for you eternal life. He said, I have come that they might have also abundant life. It's not just pie in the sky when you die. It's steak on your plate while you wait. God's got good plans for you on this earth. The Bible says in the Psalms, it says, you'll taste the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so He didn't just come to do something spiritually for you. He came to do something for your inner man, that you could be healthy on the inside. He did something to heal your physical body. He did something to sort out all the negatives in your world. And when you look at what salvation means in the Old and the New Testament, you find that it means a good life as well as eternal life. And I haven't got time to go into all of that, but let me just show you what the Holy Spirit wrote in Isaiah 53, and you will see how all of these things are involved in one package, one suffering, one sacrifice, one triumph has purchased all this for you. So if Jesus has bought your healing, then if you can believe for the forgiveness of your sin, you should also be able to believe for peace within yourself and the healing of your body through faith in what Jesus did. So Isaiah 53, now the first two lines of verse 4 are actually probably better translated than whatever version you're using. They're probably better translated by the Holy Spirit himself in Matthew 8, verse 17. And in Matthew 8, verse 17, these same two lines are translated by the Holy Spirit. And I'll just read you the context. Jesus entered Peter's house. He saw his mother-in-law sick with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her. Luke tells us he rebuked the fever. And she rose and began to serve him. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick. Okay, now here's the Holy Spirit translation of the first two lines of Isaiah 53, verse 4. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and he bore our diseases. Now that translation by the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of Matthew recognizes that the two Hebrew words used in Isaiah 53 verse 4, makov and koli, in their normal usage, those two Hebrew words meant pain, as in pain in your body, and sickness. The two words in their normal, common, everyday usage did not mean griefs or sorrows. If you said you had makov or koli, you were telling people you were physically sick or physically in pain. And so that's why the Holy Spirit wanted to make sure we understood that. And so we start this little passage of what Jesus has done by understanding Jesus bore our sickness and carried our pain. He took our physical problems, needs, deficiencies, deteriorations, you know, missing bits, everything. He took all our physical needs on the cross with him and triumphed for us. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. So the same suffering, sacrifice and triumph is now the central part. He did it for the forgiveness of our sin. He did it so that we could be reconciled to God. He did it so that we could go to heaven and not hell. And that was the most important part. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us shalom, one of the most famous words in the whole world. Jewish it may be, but everybody's heard the word shalom. Now again, when you look at this word shalom, you will discover it does not just mean peace with God. It means peace in every area of your life. It means peace with God. It means peace within yourself. So you like who you are. You're happy with who you are. You're not messed up with bitterness and anger and depression and fear and shame and guilt and, you know, all these other things that pollute us on the inside. All that's gone and it's replaced by peace and health and wholeness. Shalom also means peace in your body. You can't have shalom and be walking every day in pain. Shalom also means peace in your relationships, peace in your circumstances, peace in your finances so that you're not, you know, broke, busted and disgusted and angry and miserable and because you haven't got enough to live. No, shalom covers that too. And it covers peace in your vocation, peace in your ministry, peace in every single area of life. You can look it up for yourself. That's the meaning of shalom. It is a whole of life word, the same as salvation is a whole of life ministry. Let's continue. We're back to the physical again. By his wounds, we are healed. I want you to say this after me. By Jesus' wounds, we are healed. By Jesus' wounds, I am healed. And then the next bit, it says here, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we see in these three verses the healing of the body, the forgiveness of sin, the resolution of every need in all of our life, within and without, to bring peace and divine order, nothing missing, nothing broken, etc. Then we find also, again, a reference to the healing of our body, and then finally an affirmation of the forgiveness of our sin, our reconciliation to God, our home in heaven. Now, these things are entwined in three verses, inseparably linked, like a threefold cord that is not easily broken, like the colour and the cloth of this shirt. They are one. They are not, some people get this one and not that one. Some people get that one and not that one. Some people get one, not three, and not two, and blah, blah. It's not like that. When you get saved, you get all. But even though you get all, if you haven't got the faith to receive all, you don't receive all. Do you remember the Lord said to Joshua, he said, I've given you the land where your foot treads. It will become yours. But all the land was already his before they crossed the Jordan. All the land was already theirs before the walls of Jericho fell. But if they did not by faith receive it, if they did not by faith take what belonged to them, if they did not by faith resist the enemy until he fled from them, it would not be theirs, even though God had given it to them. And it's the same with these benefits of what Jesus did for us on the cross. It's all yours, but you have to build your faith to receive every aspect of your inheritance through Christ. And today, it's a physical healing emphasis. People are going to be healed in this room. Amen? And I want you to just say these words after me, because I want you to get this concept of grace. I want you to say these words after me. Jesus got what I deserved, which was punishment. So I would get what he deserves, which is peace, healing, blessing, and every good thing from God. Jesus got what I deserved, which was punishment, so that I would get what he deserves, which is peace, healing, blessing, and every good thing from God. Come on, give the Lord a thank offering for that. That's amazing. And because he was punished, you don't have to be. Because he suffered, you don't have to. By the wounds of Jesus, you are healed. Hallelujah. And if you can get hold of that, then it can be manifest in your life and your body today. I want to take you now to one of the most famous healings in the Bible, and it's found in Acts chapter 3, the healing of the man born lame at the Gate Beautiful. Acts chapter 3. And it says here, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Now I want to tell you, what fueled their ministry was prayer. What fueled their anointing was prayer. What fueled their faith was prayer. What fueled their authority in the things of God and their ability to do miracles was prayer. They were praying people. You remember the man with the demonized son? And nine disciples couldn't cast it out, but Jesus did in a moment of time. And they said, why couldn't we? And he said, because of your lack of faith. And he said, this kind only comes out by prayer, by a lifestyle of prayer, by modeling what Jesus did. He used to go alone at night or early in the morning and spend time with the Father, absorbing the glory, absorbing fresh oil from heaven, you know, getting the Father's instructions for the day. And then when he had spent that time with the Father, when he had refueled his tanks, when he was equipped with power from on high, then he went out into the world and did every miracle that was needed. And they were following the pattern of Jesus. It was the hour of prayer, and that was their source of faith. It was their source of power. It was their source of implementing the authority that Jesus had given them. A man lame from birth was carried that they laid daily at the gate of the temple, the beautiful gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. So the Bible says, behold, I am the God of all flesh. There's nothing too hard for me. Hallelujah. I mean, if someone's been lame from birth, that's pretty tough, isn't it? It's a bit tougher than a headache. You know, it's a bit tougher than a bit of wear and tear, in the body of some kind or other. You know, this is the deep end of the pool here. And Peter's not afraid, because the Lord can heal lameness as easy as he can heal a headache. Everything's easy to God. It may all be hard to us, but we've got to get our eyes off how big the problem is and onto how big our God is. That's what David did on the battlefield against Goliath. He was not intimidated by how big the problem was, because he looked up higher at how big God was. He said, this problem's nothing. You know, this little Goliath guy, he's just an ant. You know, God's a herd of elephants, you know, and he's an ant. So what's an ant going to do against a herd of elephants? Not much. So that's the kind of attitude of heart that we have to have. I believe this man was at the gate beautiful, not just because the Christians were an easy touch. But do you know what that means? You may not know the Australian meaning of that. But anyway, he wasn't there to exploit the fact that religious people were generous. You know, he could have been at the gate of the city and been the first beggar that all the people coming in, he would have had a bigger crowd. He could have gone to the marketplace where there's people with money to spend. You know, they just can't wait to get rid of their money. I believe there's something about this man that was indicative of him being at the gate beautiful. There were 10 gates and he was at the gate beautiful, the one that had direct entry to the Temple Mount. And I believe it was indicative that he had a beautiful attitude. There was a tradition that the lame and the blind were not allowed into the temple. Jesus kind of broke that tradition, because it says in the Gospel of Matthew, the lame and the blind came into where he was teaching and got healed. Hallelujah. But going back to the rabbinical tradition, even back to the time of David and so on, it appears to be a custom that the lame and the blind were not welcome in the temple. But he got as close as he could to the presence of God. He got as close as he could to show his devotion to God while he was also, you know, begging for his daily life. And I believe he had a beautiful attitude. Now, I can demonstrate that to you by this, that when he gets healed, those of you that are familiar with the story, they know he went about walking and leaping and praising God, and he went straight to church. He didn't go straight to the bar or the pub. You know what a pub is? A hotel. He didn't go there. He didn't go to the nightclub. He didn't go to the shopping mall. He didn't go to visit his relatives. He didn't do any of those alternatives that this world offered. He just went straight into the temple to dance and leap and praise the Lord, which he had wanted to do all those years he was sitting outside, not allowed in. I believe he had a beautiful heart. If you have a messed up inside and you're blaming God for your problems, how can you expect God to be the answer if you're blaming him for your problem? Imagine that you need to get a loan from the bank and you get an appointment with a bank manager, and you walk into the bank manager and you're blaming the bank for your problems. So when you get into his office, you just smash him in the nose, you know, with your fist. You just go whack like that and he starts bleeding. And then you say, can you lend me $10,000? Well, some people treat God like that. Some people in their heart have resentment toward God, and it's wrong. I was just talking to a lady just recently, and her husband got fired, and he stopped going to church because his company fired him, saying, God didn't look after me. What craziness is that? What deception of the devil is that? God didn't run the company that he worked for. How can you possibly blame God for a company downsizing or something like that? And so, you know, we've got to get rid of that stuff. The Bible says all God's works are perfect and all his ways are just. God never does anything wrong. So if you want to get healed and you think that inside I might have, you know, some bad attitude toward God, well, I'm asking you, get rid of it right now. Just say, Lord, sorry, I'm so sorry. I've been blaming you for my problems. Lord, please, I just hand my problems over to you. Lord, I ask you to heal my heart and just get me ready to receive all the good things that you have for me. Can you say amen? And, you know, this man was like that. So he asked Peter and John for money. And Peter directed his gaze at the man and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. Now, I want to just take a little sidetrack here, two things. Number one, Peter's going into the time of prayer and he sees a divine opportunity. He sees a moment for a divine appointment. And so he steps out in faith, he steps out in love and says, you know what, let's bring God in on this scenario right here. Now, we all want divine appointments to happen to us. You know, we want somebody to come up and prophesy an encouragement to us. We want someone to come up and pray for us and we get healed. We want someone to come up and give us $1,000 and all of that. You know, we want divine appointments to happen to us. But if you want divine appointments to happen to you, let me say to you, you need to be looking how to give away divine appointments first. Do you know what happened to Job before he received his double portion? The father said to him, pray for your frenemies. They were the guys who were supposed to be his friends and they kicked him when he was down. And God says, I want you to pray for your frenemies. And, you know, Job could have looked at God and said, are you nuts? They don't deserve that. You pray for them. No, Job was a good man. And he said, okay, I'm going to pray for those that have done me wrong, you know. Going to bless those that curse me and so forth like that. And so he did. And then he received the double portion. The more you allow God to do through you, the more he will do for you. It's the law of sowing and reaping. The more you allow God to do through you, the more he will do for you. So stop waiting to receive a divine appointment. And start saying, God, I want to be a divine appointment. I want you to say this after me. God, I want to be a divine appointment. God, I want to be a divine appointment. So they saw an opportunity for God to step in. And if you are willing to step out in faith, if you are willing to step out in love, then miracles will happen. I tell you, if you never lay hand on the sick, no one's ever going to get healed, not through you. But if you start laying hands on the sick, the Bible says, those who believe in my name, they will lay hand on the sick and they shall recover. If you start laying hands on the sick, someone's going to get healed. Now, even if they don't, they're going to be grateful that you prayed for them. Amen. But you've got to start where you're at and you've got to put your life on the line, your love on the line, your faith on the line, and you've got to sow before you reap. Amen. Now, it says here the guy expected something from them. Okay, so let's think about coming to church today. Do you expect to go home without your problem? Do you expect to go home without your pain? Do you expect to go home without the sickness you came in with? Because it's one thing to say, oh yes, I believe God's a healer, but if I don't expect him to heal me, I'm not going to be the one to get healed. Expectation is a powerful force that turns faith from a theory into a reality. It's one thing to say, oh yes, Lord, I believe. But you don't actually do anything in order to anchor that faith to the miracle that God has for you. And so expectancy. So right now, I'm saying to you, even though this guy was expecting money, not a miracle, the apostles were expecting a miracle. Peter was expecting a miracle. I'm expecting a miracle. And I want you to expect a miracle in Jesus' name. Can you say this after me? I'm a believer, not a doubter. I'm a believer, not a doubter. I'm expecting a miracle. I'm expecting a healing. I'm expecting for others. And I'm expecting for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, give the Lord a thank offering. Amen. So when you come to this wonderful church that believes in the power and the presence and the purpose, you need to come expecting. In fact, before you get here, during the week, you should be praying, Lord, we're expecting miracles on Sunday. We're expecting prophecies like Pastor Sandy brought. You know, we're expecting healing. We're expecting, you know, good things to happen. We're expecting new people. We're expecting, you know, our children to be blessed and to grow and blah, blah, blah. You know, you need to be expecting during the week, praying during the week, and coming to church with a sense of expectancy. Today's my day for a miracle. Today's my day for Pastor Jack to preach a great sermon. He's going to do it. He's going to do it every week, whether you expect it or not. You know, that's just who he is. Hallelujah. And so, you know, you need to be expectant, putting your faith on the line. But we expect and put our faith in the Lord and in his word. We expect what God's promised in his word. We expect that what we ask him for, he's going to answer. We expect that he's going to resource us for everything we need to succeed in life and godliness. We expect that what Jesus did for us is going to become real in our lives, that by his wounds I am healed. I'm going to experience the reality of that today. By his punishment, I'm going to have peace. I'm going to walk out of here with peace. I'm not going to walk out of here in pain. I'm not going to walk out of here in fear, in shame, in depression, in negativity, in darkness. I'm going to walk out of here pain-free, free of all that junk and rubbish, and I'm going to experience the healing and peace of Jesus. Can you say amen? Say this after me. I'm going to walk out of here in the peace and healing of Jesus. I'm going to walk out of here because by his wounds I'm healed. I'm going to walk out of here because by his punishment I have peace. I expect it and I receive it by faith. So Peter said, I have no silver or gold. He says, but what I do have, I give you. Now, this is what Christians need. You need to know what you've got. You need to know who you've got. You know, you've got the living Christ living in you. You've got all his power, all his authority, all his wisdom, all his knowledge, all his strength, all his goodness, all his righteousness, all his blessing, all his power, all his peace, all his healing, all his resources. You've got it all. Hallelujah. And when you believe it, you receive it. When you act in faith, you set it in motion. So Peter knew what he did have. What he did have was Jesus on his side and inside of him by the Holy Ghost. What he did have was a knowledge of the Word of God and that God's Word works. What he did have was a knowledge of the delegated authority of Jesus, that what Jesus used to do, he knew he could do in the name of Jesus. He knew he had the name, and he knew he had the authority that backs up the name. He also knew that sickness does not glorify God, but healing glorifies God. And so he knew that God wants to be glorified by people getting healed. Now, in order for you to be healed and for you to exercise a healing ministry, you've got to know who and what you have. You have Jesus living in you. You have faith. The Bible says he's given every man, every woman, every person that's in the kingdom, the measure of faith. You have faith in the only true and living God who is omniscient. He knows every need. He is omnipotent. He can meet every need far beyond. Who's omnipresent. He's right where you are. He's right where your need is. He's a God who loves us and always wants to bless us with good gifts. You have faith in what the Word of God says, that by His wounds you were healed, that by His punishment you have peace. You have this. This is already a gift to you, but are you believing it really? Are you expecting it really? Are you using what you've got really? Are you? Because if you do, miracles are going to happen for you and miracles are going to happen through you. I remember in terms of the Word of God, when we were first saved, this saying was very popular. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. How many of you heard that saying? Let's say it together. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Amen. So you have faith in what Jesus did for you. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. It's everything is by grace through faith. We are saved, and salvation includes healing. Salvation includes peace. Salvation includes forgiveness and going to heaven. But it's all by grace through faith. By grace, my sins are forgiven through faith. By grace, I have peace within through faith. By grace, I have healing in my body through faith. By grace, I have blessing in my relationships through faith. By grace, I have provided for my finances through faith. It's not earned and it's not deserved. We just got to believe what God said, and we've got to then receive it by faith. We've got to receive what Jesus promised and prophesied. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do. We've got to believe what Jesus said. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it for you, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We've got to believe that we have the authority of Christ's name, which is the name above every name, a name above lameness, a name above disease, a name above pain, a name above whatever symptom you've got. His name is above that. Whatever causes that symptom, His name is above that. Hallelujah. And we've got that name. We've got that authority. We've got that peace. We've got that power of the Holy Spirit. You know, in Ephesians 3:20, it talks about God being able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that's at work within us. Hallelujah. You've got it. But too many Christians either don't know what they've got or don't use what they've got. Now, I want you to notice that what Peter did here, it says, he took him by the right hand. Oh, he says, first, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand and raised him up. Immediately, his ankles and feet were made strong, and then leaping, he goes into the temple. Now, Peter put his faith into action using two methods right here. The first method is the power of words. And I hope you've heard sermons on the power of the tongue. The death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, I hope you know how powerful words are. And so he used words. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And so you've got to start speaking to your own body. And you've got to say, pain, get out in Jesus' name, just like he rebuked that fever. You've got to say, disease, get out of my body. You are not welcome. Get out in Jesus' name. And you've got to use the power of words. You've got to speak and say, by the wounds of Jesus, I am healed. By the wounds of Jesus, sickness is expelled from my body. By the wounds of Jesus, symptoms stop and healing comes. Hallelujah. And in Jesus' name, you've got to speak these things into being. And you can start right now while I'm speaking. You can keep doing that under your breath. You can keep commanding your symptoms to stop, commanding healing to happen, commanding pain to leave, commanding sickness to go, commanding spirits of infirmity to leave you and your family and so forth like that. So he used the power of words. He also used the ministry of laying on of hands. I guess most of us have heard of that ministry, Mark 16, verse 18. He grabs hold of the guy and jerks him up. Hallelujah. It's not your normal religious method of laying on of hands. you know, Jesus touched the woman with the fever as well, you know, and so you don't have to be all religious about how do we lay on of hands. Just touching the person and bring that transfer of divine power, hallelujah. And there's nothing in the Bible that says you can't lay hands on yourself. You know, one of the ways that God began to lead me and then respond when I was asking him for this ministry of healing pain and all its causes was through the laying on of hands. And I would start, for example, when people might have had a shoulder pain, and I would put my hand on their shoulder, and for whatever reason, you know, I would drag my hand down their arm and command the pain to leave. And many times the people said, do you know what? When you put your hand there and you started to move your hand, the pain shifted with your hand. Now, sometimes it only went halfway and I had to pray again, you know, and out it went. But you know, the pain followed. But, you know, I wasn't as smart as you wonderful country people here in Leroy. And it took some time before I realized, you know, I could put my hand on my shoulder and just take my hand away instead of going down his arm. So I didn't need to let the pain travel down that way. I could just take my hand away. And many, many times, both myself doing that or people that I've taught through the laying on of hands and so forth, and I say, pain, go, and I take my hand away from their lower back and the pain leaves with my hand. Or someone else puts their pain on their elbow and takes their hand away, and when they take the hand away, the pain goes. Hallelujah. And so, you know, the laying on of hands is a ministry that God has given us, and we need to use it. Now, I want to refer you to the most ridiculous, nonsensical, stupid, outrageous, crazy, should never have happened, awful in its shockingness question in the whole Bible. I mean, it is just an absurd question. It is just a ridiculous notion. And it's hard to imagine how the Apostle Peter could have said the words that he did in verse 12. Now, I want to just read to you around it first. It says here in verse 11, all the people were utterly astounded. And it goes on to say similar things elsewhere in the passage. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And Peter's response is this. This is the craziest question you'll ever hear in your life. So all these people are just off their brain with excitement, with amazement. I mean, they've seen this guy every day that they've come to the temple for years. And now, instead of him sitting there, unable to move, he's walking and leaping and praising God. And Peter's response is, people of God, why do you wonder at this? Why do you wonder at this? Peter, are you a nutcase? I mean, Peter, what's wrong with your brain? You know, is your brain upside down, inside out? You know, what the heck are you talking about? Why do you wonder at this? What was he saying? He was saying, listen, you dummies, miracles are normal in the kingdom of God. I said, miracles are normal in the kingdom of God. I said, miracles are normal in the kingdom of God. Why do you wonder at this? I want you to say these words after me. Miracles are normal in the kingdom of God. Healing is normal in the kingdom of God. I'm expecting my healing today. I'm receiving my healing right now. I'm going to walk out of here healed because Jesus is in the room. Hallelujah. Why do you wonder? Oh my goodness, what a crazy statement that is. Miracles are normal in the kingdom. Miracles are normal in the Christian life. Amen. Now, I love this next bit. He says here, why do you stare at us as by our own power or piety we have made him walk? So It's not mind over matter. It's not hypnotism and some kind of human or metaphysical persuasion. It's not soul power. It's not anything that people can do to make this happen. It's trusting in the Lord. It's yielding to the Lord and letting God work through us. It's His grace. It's His power. It's His authority. We're just the conduits. You know, we're just the vehicles, the vessels through whom God works. And He can use a donkey to speak to Balaam the prophet. He can use a donkey like me or a donkey like you. Amen? It's not about the vessel. It's about the Lord Himself working through us and working through our obedience and our faith and our love. And so it also says it's not our own piety. So number one, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's not by human wisdom, knowledge, strength, talent, money, nothing. It's by the Spirit of God. But it's also not because of our religious performance. I mean, you might have come here and thought, oh, I didn't read my Bible this week. Boy, God won't heal me because I didn't read my Bible this week. Rubbish. He doesn't care about your religious performance. If you didn't pray this week, He doesn't care about that either. Of course, He wants you to pray. He wants you to read the Word. But He doesn't hold it against you if you don't do those things. He loves you beyond your performance. He loves you despite your performance. He loves you because of Jesus' performance. Healing comes because of Jesus' performance. So put all those religious barriers aside that, you know, you're not the world's best Christian. I mean, if there's things you need to deal with, okay, deal with them. If you've got to forgive your brother or your boss or, you know, your mother or your auntie or your best friend or, you know, whatever, you know, well, okay, well, forgive them. You know, get rid of that stuff. You don't need to hang on to that. It's just a blockage, you know. And but it's not about your performance. It's not our power or our piety that has brought this miracle. It's the name of Jesus. It's what Jesus did. Hallelujah. It's His performance. By His wounds we are healed. By His punishment we have peace. Thank you, Lord. And it goes on down in verse 16. It says, it's His name and by faith in His name that has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. That's the contribution we make. Our contribution is faith. Our contribution is to believe what the Bible says. Our contribution is to expect what the Bible says to happen right here, right now. And as we do that, that's when miracles flow. When we have faith in Jesus, when we have faith in His name above all names, when we have faith in His presence in the room, when we have faith that what the Lord has done is enough and it's not about our performance, hallelujah. So I want to say to you today, that you can walk out of here healed, free of pain, your body put back into the order that it should be. It doesn't matter how long you've had the problem. You know, I've had people healed of stuff that they've had for 30 years. One bloke had 25 years of lower back pain. He used to be able to tell when it was going to rain because when it was about to rain, his lower back would start to play up and he would say, you know what, it's going to rain. And he'd be right. And in one moment of prayer, Joe was healed, hallelujah, of 25 years of back pain. There was a lady named Jackie, and she had fallen down a flight of stairs. And she had messed up her coccyx. And she had had daily pain for 6 years since she fell down those stairs. She was wearing like flip-flops or thongs or I don't know what you call them, but say inadequate slippers. And one bent under the other and down she went. And so she couldn't go shopping. She couldn't lift groceries. She couldn't lift up her children. She couldn't live a normal life. And in one moment, as I led the congregation in prayer, exactly the way I'm going to do it right now, she responded to the instructions that I gave. And as she leant forward like that in faith, she heard a pop in her back. And everything was put in order and her pain disappeared. And I saw her 8 days later in her home church in Canada, and she said, "Pastor, I've got my life back. I can go shopping. I can go on holidays. I can lift my kids up. I can do anything and everything I want in life. Hallelujah, because the Lord has healed me. Glory to God." So I want to help you receive your healing. Now, as I should say, you know, right down the bottom here, verse 19, "Repent and turn back that your sins may be blotted out and times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And he might send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus." I mean, if you know there's something not right in your life, well, just deal with it now. Just get rid of it. Say, "Lord, I don't, you know, I don't want this problem. I don't want this attitude of revenge or unforgiveness or, you know, whatever. Lord, just get rid of that." You can do that and times of refreshing will come and your sins will be blotted out as if they had never happened. But I want to help you receive your healing by telling you I have three conditions for people to respond for this healing ministry. The first condition is that you stand up when I ask you for healing, not for prayer. If you stand up for prayer, then you'll get a prayer and you'll sit down again and nothing will change because you got what you asked for, which was prayer. So you need to say, "I'm going to stand up for healing." Now, not just healing generally. When the blind Bartimaeus came to Jesus, Jesus said, "What do you want?" And Bartimaeus said, "I want my sight." So you're going to stand up and say, "I am standing for the healing of my lower back. I'm standing for the healing of my blood pressure. I'm standing for the healing of my allergies and reflux and stuff like that. You know, I'm standing for my eyes. I'm standing for my ears." Whatever it is that you are believing God for. You know, I've had people that by faith have taken off their glasses and floaties have disappeared. If you know what floaties are, they've disappeared. And some have had improved vision. That one lady was blind in one eye and it went to about 30, 40%. She could see shapes and colours or some light anyway. And the other was 70%, went to 100%. And other type of things like that have happened. And so, you know, God can do anything and everything. But you've got to stand up and say, "Lord, I'm standing for this healing that I'm going to receive." Now, the second thing is you've got to stand in faith, not in hope. Hope is future. If you stand saying, "Oh, Lord, I'm standing up for my shoulder, which has had bursitis and you know, it's in pain. I can't lift it up past here." And, you know, and you stand up in hope, what you're doing is saying, "Well, I'm going to receive this faith ministry now and one day my shoulder is going to get better." That means you're not going to receive it now because you're putting it off. You're saying, "One day my shoulder will get better." So you've got to stand in faith to say, "Lord, I believe it's going to happen right in here, right now." Now, if I was to ask you, how many of you believe the scripture that says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst"? How many can say amen to that? Well, okay, I won't challenge you and say I don't believe you. But what I will do is I will ask you to close your eyes and I will ask you to switch off the Australian. The Australian can do nothing for you. Nothing. If you believe it, then I want you to focus your attention right now on Jesus. So close your eyes and focus on him. I want you to say these words after me. "Thank you, Jesus, you're in the room. Thank you, Jesus, you're in the room right now. Thank you, Jesus, you're in the room for me." Do you know wherever Jesus was, in the synagogue, in the house, in the field, he was there for anyone and everyone who came to him. He never refused anybody. And so he was there for everybody who asked. He was there for everybody who came to him for a healing touch. That means he's here for you. Let's just say it again. Thank you, Jesus, that you're in the room. Thank you, Jesus, that you're here for me. Thank you, Jesus, that you're here to heal. Thank you, Jesus, you're here to heal anyone who asks. Thank you, Jesus, you're here to heal me because I'm asking. Okay, the third condition is this. Jesus said to the man with the withered arm, stretch forth your arm. So you've got to try and do something you couldn't do before. And you might be thinking, yeah, but you know, if I bend my knee, it always hurts if I bend my knee. If I bend my knee, it might hurt. Well, what if you got healed and you bent your knee and it didn't hurt? That would be faith, wouldn't it? And so you've got to do something in faith. You've got to try and do something you couldn't do before. Look, I've had people had cartilage replaced in their knees. A mother and a son the same day. Obviously, she was a bit older than her son. How many of you say amen to that? She was older than her son. But he had a test the next morning where to keep his job in the fire brigade, he had to pass this test and he had a bad knee. And he came to that meeting believing God or hoping or something, you know, that his knee would be healed so he would pass the test the next morning. And guess what he did? And his mother had two bad knees. One was worse than the other. And she's dancing around the hall that the meeting was in saying, oh, wow, look at me. And she's saying, it wasn't there, it wasn't there, meaning there was no cartilage in one of her knees, but God had put it back. So now, come on, keep your eyes closed and keep focused on Jesus. So number one, you're going to stand for healing, not for prayer. Number two, you're going to stand for specific healing of whatever it is that you're asking Jesus to heal in your body. You're standing because you believe Jesus is in the room and he's in the room for you. He's in the room for anyone who asks. The third condition is that you're going to do something to receive your healing. I'm actually going to ask you to do two things. Firstly, I'm going to ask you to receive your healing by the words of your mouth. I'm going to ask you to stop asking Jesus for it, and I'm going to ask you to thank him for it. Say, thank you, Jesus, for healing my back. Thank you, Jesus, for healing my migraines. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me strength for weakness, giving me freedom where it's been frozen, giving me feeling where it's been numb. Thank you, Jesus, for putting my vertebrae back in place. Thank you, Jesus, for realigning the nerves in my body. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me right now. And then you're going to command your body, say, body, be well. Pain go, healing come. You're going to use the words of your mouth, and at the same time, you're going to try and do what you couldn't do before. Now, while you're doing that to receive, I'm going to be doing what the Bible says. I'm going to be speaking the prayer of faith over you. I'm going to be speaking the healing power of Jesus over you. And you're going to testify that the Lord has changed your body. So if you're ready to step into those three conditions and you're ready to receive and walk in your healing, I want you to stand up, please, right now. Just stand up, please, right now. I want you to start thanking Jesus right now. Use the words of your mouth. Say, thank you, Jesus, my day for a miracle. Thank you, Jesus, it's my day for a miracle. Thank you, Jesus, for healing my body. Thank you, Jesus, for expelling my pain. Thank you, Jesus, for healing the condition that I have. Lord, I receive it by faith. I command pain to leave. I command healing to come. And I receive it right here, right now, in Jesus' name. Now, you just keep doing that and keep testing your body out. Keep lifting up your arm, bending your knees, moving your back in Jesus' name. So, Father, I just want to say thank you for all these people. Lord, they are not responding to me but to you. And, Lord, you are here. You're in the room to heal everyone who asks without discrimination, without condition, without favoritism, without any of that stuff of qualification because, Jesus, you've done it all for us. You don't have to be whipped because we're sick. You don't have to have any more crowns of thorns because we've got a problem in our body. You have done it all. And Lord, we receive by faith what you have done, the healing of our body. And right now I command necks to be loosed and healed right now. Just begin to move your neck from the left to the right. Somebody's neck's just being healed right now. The Lord's just touched that neck in the name of Jesus. Just bend your head back and forth, left and right, in the name of Jesus. Father, we receive that healing right now. Lord, I command nerves to realign. I command hips to realign. Lord, I command vertebrae go back in proper place. Lord, I command what's been missing to be replaced, cartilage. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I say strength for weakness. I say peace for pain in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I command shoulders and the whole skeletal system to be renewed right now. Lord, I command organs and internal systems. Lord, allergies and reflux, stop right now. Stop right now. Never come back in Jesus' name. Lord, I command blood pressure and sugar diabetes be healed in the name of Jesus. I command urology system and needs be healed in the name of Jesus. Individual organs and systems, pancreas be healed, thyroid be healed, liver be healed, kidneys be healed. In the name of Jesus, heart be healed. No more palpitations. Everything normal rhythm from this time on. No more weakness of the body. No more numbness. I take authority over arthritis. I command arthritis to leave. I command pain to leave. I command the spirit of pain to leave. I command the spirit of infirmity to leave in Jesus' name. I command the swelling to go down. Command peace, healing, and freedom of hands and feet, of every part of the body in the name of Jesus. Now just keep testing yourself out. I had a guy named Jim in Aberdeen. He just kept squeezing his fingers like this and all the arthritis left him within just a couple of minutes. If you feel a change in your body right now, if you can feel, you know, something has happened in my body, just put your hand up above your head. Just say, you know what, I can feel. Put your hand down if you didn't feel anything, but if you can feel something has happened, put your hand, please, up above your head. Above your head, right up above your head. Pastor, can you just come here, please, just quickly, turn around. Put your hand up above your head. If you feel there's something different in your body, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. You feel something's happened. If you feel what's happened is complete, then put your other hand up. Put two hands up above your head. If you feel what's happened is complete, put two hands up above your head. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm just going to come just ask this gentleman here. Yes, sir, you've got two hands above your head. What?
A lot of things.
Well, praise God. You were in pain. Were you in pain? And you're not in pain anymore?
No.
Jesus, come on, give the Lord a thank offering. I'm coming back to you, ma'am.
My neck and other parts. And I have lots of arthritis. And circulation. Yeah. It feels much better.
Oh, come on, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. You've got two hands up. Oh, you played the piano. You did a great job.
Thank you. I've had a lot of pain in my spine and my hips, and they're gone. I don't feel any of the pain in my spine.
Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Now listen, I want to tell you something. Jesus does not play games. You remember I said he is not Jehovah Tylenol? Jesus does not give people pain relief and then later on they've still got the problem. He doesn't say to the angels, ha, 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 look at that, I fooled them. They just got a little bit of pain relief, you know, but you know, I still left the problem there. Aren't I a clever saviour? No, he doesn't do that. That's the devil does that. Yes, ma'am. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Father, just bless this lady with health and healing in every area of life. Anyone else? You want to put both your hands up and just say, oh, someone over here? Yes, ma'am.
Yep. Yes. I had arthritis, or I have arthritis, and now there's no pain.
Oh. I want you to say this after me. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. For not only healing my pain. For healing my arthritis. I command arthritis to leave my body. and never return. For what Jesus did for me is finished. For the rest of my life, it's finished.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Over to you, sir.
Ushers, as you're standing, our brother here is living by faith and flying from Australia, getting a few stops around America. We want to just sow into his ministry with gratitude. So, ushers, if you can bring the baskets through one more time, and if you aren't prepared for that, you want to give on Givelify or online, the church website, you can do that in the next couple of days. That would be fine, too. But all of it will go to Nick Watson, if you'll make that clear. But we're going to also, after the ushers have gone through, we're going to just have this area up here be available for laying on of hands. Jesus said, a wonderful illustration, used his words and used the laying on of hands. So we've used our words. We're going to do the laying on of hands. If you would like to have the hands laid on you, we're going to be, Brother Nick and I will be available to do that with you. Go ahead, ushers, just go ahead and pass that on through. And so, Father, we're just grateful for meeting with us this morning. Thank you for all that you've done. As we sang, you have always been faithful. You've always been good. And, Lord, you've been good today, and you will always be good. You're the same yesterday as you are today, as you will be forever. And so, Father, we just give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.